The book of Galatians chapter 1. That's where we'll start this afternoon from. I thought last time I'll be able to finish what we're talking about, how to recognize the voice of God. But of course, we're not able to finish it, so I'll try my best to make sure that concludes today so we can go on to something else. Especially since this is not something we are doing. It's something I've taught here and there. I was thinking about trying to remember when it was that we studied that matter exactly. Because if you listen to different of our messages, listen to different ones, you hear messages like walking in the will of God, a life of purpose, especially the last life of purpose. When I was talking about life of purpose, I discussed a lot of these things extensively. But God gave me some new understanding, which I was able to include inside what we have been saying for some time now, the last 3 weeks. Slightly different from what we said there, but they are all complementary. So I would recommend that you listen to that series again if you are listening to this one now, so that you get everything together. I can't go over everything we said in that particular one. That's in the Life of Purpose series. Now, so for the last few weeks, I've been talking about how to recognize God's voice. And as part of our Faith Basics series, some of the fundamental things about Christianity that we must know is how to know what is the voice of God and what is not the voice of God. I said it's very important because sometimes in our desires to, that's our individual desires to obey God, all right? The desire of our hearts, we end up getting confused once in a while, especially when somebody comes to the word that God said. Are you getting what I'm saying? You know, and so that's why it's very important we know the meaning, we understand how to recognize the voice of God. I have to review a bit for a number of reasons, especially because we're ending it today, but I won't spend much time. One of the most important things I said, which I said a few weeks ago, is the fact that there is a difference. Okay, I introduced the concept of what God says to somebody as opposed to what the perfect will of God is. And I said, as a matter of fact, there is a difference between what the perfect will of God is and what somebody claims, or not even claims, what actually God says to somebody. There's a world of difference. What God says to you is that which you can hear. It doesn't mean that's his perfect will. Are you getting what I'm saying? That's why we don't go around looking for voices to hear. We don't sit down on strange revelations. Now, this is what I'm trying to bring out. Sometimes a man says something. Now, what I want to say, it will help some of us. I don't know. I hope I don't confuse some people. There's a book I got from Yinka some time ago. I don't want to tell you the title of the book so that you won't go and look at the book and start laughing at it. And it's supposed to be visions of spiritual things. Is that okay? After I finished reading the book, I just tossed it aside. That's a child. Now, listen to what I'm saying. Listen to what I'm saying. Say, Pastor Banga, isn't that the person didn't have visions of heaven? Maybe she did. It's a woman. I said, maybe she did. But obviously, God was talking to a child because some of the concepts the person was trying to pass across to us. Do you understand? It's like making me feel silly. If I believe them, I was out walking like a mental person. Do you understand my point? You know, I said that. Is it that God didn't show her revelations? God did. He gave her the kind of revelation that somebody in her level of spiritual understanding could absorb. Are you getting my point? She did. Having read that book, I said, this is not the perfect will of God. But it is a revelation of God to her at that moment. So somebody comes to you and says that, okay, God said to me, and then built a ministry around God said to me. Now, let me explain something to you. As far as his life is concerned, that may be okay, but you don't have a responsibility to die with him because of that. Christians have we have that problems, you know, in life today. You know, maybe I come to you now and say that God spoke to me and said I should go and build this denomination, this is that kind of thing, that God said that they should build a church that he will come and meet on the earth. So they keep on telling people that if you lead this denomination, you have missed God. And all I can do is laugh. That you guys don't understand God. You really don't. Because, and this is why I want to read this Galatians chapter 1. This is what I've been explaining for some weeks now. It's very crucial. How do we recognize God's voice? All right? Because people come with words like different kinds of words. And because we think that if I reject that word, it means I have rejected his entire revelation. Do you understand? And sometimes conflicts come into our lives because we don't understand, because there are people who have seen visions, and when they finish narrating the vision, I'll just say, that's very nice. Now, some of those visions are very true and accurate. That what I mean by true and accurate is that the person is not lying. But I said, this vision was created. It was a movie the Lord made so you can understand certain issues. Let me give you something that will interest you. Many years ago, when my wife and I first met, I'm a Bible teacher. I taught her a lot of things. There were statements I made, and she was like, No, how can it be? It was just out of the world. Then one day she read Regina, The Final Quest, and started believing the things that I said to her months ago that she could not stomach. But now that Regina came with revelation of vision, it was easy to absorb. So I said, look, listen, I did not need Regina to tell me that. It's written in the Bible. Now, Regina is correct. Are you getting my point? Regina is correct. But she couldn't absorb it until somebody began to narrate that then God spoke to me and God spoke to me and then I had this vision. Fine. The problem is sometimes that now you don't want to go beyond that level. You may sometimes have to reject some of the things that appears that God supposedly said to that person. So you're not saying that his visions are false? Maybe somebody else comes up with some issues. No, not necessarily. What just happens is that sometimes what God has done is that he's helped us to understand certain levels in some issues of life. Then we're not going beyond that level. So that other one now begins to look as if is inaccurate. No, revelations are in levels. So what God gives to a man at a time usually is a revelation for that level. Are you getting my point? So what I'm trying to emphasize is that where we go to is what? The perfect will of God. Whatever it is that we are doing, we must be heading for the perfect will of God. Do you understand the point? We must be doing what? Heading for the perfect will of God. And I said to you, the perfect will of God, all right, is hardly, I'm not saying never, is rarely spoken to anybody. It's been recorded. You hear what I said? It's been what? Recorded. Most of the things we come to encounter in personal revelations are inferior to the perfect will of God. The reason being that God is communicating something to me. I give an example that God can say to me, Banky, go to Onisha. And then, because you have to understand that God doesn't speak English. Please, I wish you get my point. He doesn't speak English. He doesn't speak English. I hope you know that. No, he communicates. He communicates. That is why if a man with bad English hears God, he hears bad English. That is, someone said, and God spoke to me. And he quotes what God said. And I said, God didn't go to school. That is, the grammar is so bad. I don't know whether you get my point. And you begin to wonder, is it that God did not go to school? How come God doesn't know ordinary English grammar? It's not God. God communicated, then it was decoded into his heart by his mechanism of bad language. But he got the point. Are you getting my point? No, God is not going to come teaching you English. I hope you know that. I don't know whether you get my point. You will get what he's saying. He doesn't come to teach you English. The problem is that when somebody now wants to communicate it to another person, he now wants to impress upon me that this was what God said. And then I, not knowing how bad his own English is in his heart, I start decoding what God said to him in correct English. Then I turn it upside down. There are books I have read. I say, obviously this book was not written in English. Like, have you ever read some Watchmanese? Some of these were written in Chinese. And by the time they brought it down to English, some of the lessons in them were lost. And that's why if you're a Bible student, you have to read references. You can't just take a Bible and read. I don't know where I get my point. You have to read different Bible, get an amplified Bible, read simple, read good translations like New American Standard, then get a properly, like something like the Message Bible, right? New Living Translation. Get them on the side. Get amplified. Read them commentaries. Because to bring things down from Greek to English, a lot of things are lost. When we have to give it literally. Are you getting my point? Now let me quickly get back to what I was saying about God. So when God says something to a man, he communicates what the man can understand. So when God, I said that God doesn't speak English. So sometimes when he's speaking, all right, he imparts a spirit. Your ability to hear it, that's what I've been talking about for the last few weeks, is determined by a number of things. All of them inside you. None of them him. So God says, go to Onisha. What I hear, that's what I'm coming to now. That's why I'm going to all of that. What I will hear, I'll say that I was speaking as I was sleeping. The Lord spoke to me that I should go to, you'll be surprised. I say, Oka. And God is not angry. At least you are heading towards what? Onisha. No problem. Then I move, I pack and get to Oka. After 2 years. Then the word resounds again. This time around, I'm ready to move. And the Lord now says again, my son, thou shalt arise. This time around, I hear, go to Onisha. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, this is the issue. God has not spoken a second time. Once he has spoken, I am just hearing it a second time because it is now that I'm ready to absorb the fullness of his revelation. Did you hear what I said? Did you hear what I said? That's why, let me tell you, you can't die with one man. I don't know what I heard I say. That I people say that this was all God told our Father in the Lord. And I feel bad for them. I don't know whether I get my point. Because revelation is what? Progressive. The only one that's perfect is the one that's recorded. Your ability to decode that which is recorded is progressive. So a man tells you that this is what God spoke to me at the beginning of the ministry. You want to die around that word. I feel bad for you because God won't even have any mercy on you if over years you don't grow, you are still following one man. Whatever it is that God speaks to anybody, use that to head for the perfect will of God. That's why if you are a preacher, I am saying many things, all right? Without getting back to me, I want to say, if you are a preacher, don't be angry when one day when somebody leaves you. Do you get my point? Nobody was born to come and die with you, maybe apart from your wife. Yes, you must get that point. The Bible makes it clear, there's a time for everything. There's a time to embrace, and then there's a time to refrain from embracing. There's a time to let go. That's what he was saying. People will come to you, you must be wise. The time will come to allow them go. They will not die with you. They are children of God. They have a direct communication with the Father. You are just supposed to train them for a while. It is not disloyalty when you left your secondary school teacher. You have to go to university. When you finish first degree, they say, this my dean was so nice. I will never leave this school. That's why they came to John and said, the man you baptized is gathering more church, you understand what I'm saying, than you. And John said, leave that side. A man can receive nothing except it is given to him from above. He said, I've already told you, he must increase and I must decrease. The man understood that life has phases. Please, do you get what I'm going to explain? How do we recognize God's voice? This is a summary of what I'm saying. It's simple. We continually train ourselves in the perfect will of God. Are you getting my point? And that is through that which is recorded. Then listen to this. All other things are added. What do I mean? You know, having taught on these things for a while, this is when I'm praying, I hear myself preach again when I'm praying. What I mean is this. So when I'm trying to say that, God, what do we do? Hold on, I'm praying. And it's as if God says nicely to my heart. You know, that's where I feel. What do you want to do here? And I don't know what you get on I explain. Now, the idea is, listen. See, that when God communicates his perfect will, I've told you again and again. Now, God is very nice. Do you hear what I said? He's very nice. Very, very. He's not angry. He's not quick to anger. The Bible says he's slow to anger. All right? And he knows what you can hear and he knows what you can't hear. No matter how much you persuade him to talk, he won't if he knows you can't hear it. I don't know what I heard I said. No, if you like, pray from now till next year, trying to get God to utter something. He won't push anything into your ears if he knows you don't have the ability to conceive it. Like I said to you before, the reason is because it brings you more judgment. Because once he utters and you disobey, it becomes a matter of judgment. And he doesn't want that. So he relaxes. So this is the idea. What do I do here? The Holy Spirit is slow to start. You know, all this one that I woke up in the morning and God began to talk to me. I told you, if you practice it, stop it now. Amen? Please, I'm begging you. Stop it. If somebody around you says it, don't mind him. What did I say? You are afraid. Look, if I say this, I hope you won't go and quarrel with someone. If you go to church and pastor just shows you, of course, this man, God began to speak to me. Just the pastor Frank says, you don't bother with that. Say to us what you want to say. Don't harass us with God said to you. You know the reason? Because one day you'll be embarrassed. You will come back and change. You know, you've not seen it before. You will just change exactly what God said to you. Now, it is like he didn't say, well, it's not as if he did not say what he said. It's just that now you can hear better. Your hearing is keener, is clearer. Your ability to perceive is better. So God doesn't expect you to just fight and fight and fight until he utters a word. What does he expect you to do? Brethren, you just keep growing in the knowledge of God. You keep renewing your way of thinking. Do you get my point? Listen, every time you may need to make a decision, all right? Before you start, if I actually, when you say, God, reveal to us your will, you know what he does? He trains you in his will. Listen to me. Listen to what I want to say. You know, what he does, he hardly just utters, wham. No. What he does is to train you in his will. Let me say something to you. I want to read the scripture I'm reading. I said you should open to, but I just, let me continue to talk, all right? I'll read that scripture in a moment, all right? I'll read in a moment. That's Galatians chapter 1. You see, what God does is that he trains you in his will. I want to use this illustration. It only gets exciting when I get to this point, all right? I'm sure you know what I'm talking about. Let us assume that let's assume now that there's a young woman, all right? Her name is, look for a name that could be anybody. That's not common in Nigeria. All right, let's assume there's one young woman. Her name is Priscilla. All right, very, very nice. All right, okay. So Priscilla is sitting down, and she knows this guy, Aquila, all right? They go to the same church. She's always seen Aquila around, and Aquila is a nice guy. They get along a bit well. They are in the same department in church, and then one day, Aquila shows up. And that with God said to me, well, that's, he's a nice guy. He doesn't come harassing. God said to me, he just comes to say nice things. I've been praying about you for a while, so I just feel like, he manages to say it. You know what I'm saying? The Lord, I feel like the Lord will be happy if you agree to marry me, and I'm asking right now. Now, let me tell you something, Sister Priscilla. If you have the answer, there, give it there. Amen? If you have never thought about it before, you know, it happens. Sometimes it's like shock. I thought it was a nice guy. I'm not serious. He buy you an expensive bottle of perfume on your birthday. Are you the only person that is nice to? You know what he can afford and what he can't afford. That was a lot of tithe and offering on your birthday. There's nothing nice about that. Guys want to be nice. They are nice to poor people, not rich girl like you. See, they buy you expensive perfume. So anyway, now mistake. You made a mistake. Now you know he's not a nice guy. He's a guy with ulterior motives. Amen? It's not a bad motive. But it's the point. All right? So suddenly he comes to you with that kind of question. It's surprising to you. Now, first I said, if you have the answer there, it's not surprising. Maybe you've been liking him too, and you have been praying about him. And now finally, he now asks, all right, you don't want to answer that. It's be like you are begging for it. Okay, no problem. So just go home and quickly come back after a while. Just say, okay, call me in 1 week. And if he doesn't call you, call him. Say, don't do like you are calling him to say, just come and say, hey, how now, please? Is your phone still working? If it's not working, how did I answer you? Okay, I was just wondering. You're supposed to call me yesterday, you did not. Nothing bad about you. He'll tell a nice story about you later. That's a very nice guy. He didn't give me any wahala. All right? Now, but there are times, let's say, you don't have an answer. Now, you see, sometimes you hear that a woman took a year to answer. Do you get my point? All right? And some of us will say, why are they wasting time? This is actually where I'm going to. If you don't have the answer, or you've heard a story that a woman takes 1 year to answer, you say, what is she doing? She's praying. I say something all the time, all right? Let me tell something to you clearly. Let's not get carried away by somebody's testimony who just woke up one day, and as he was walking on the road, suddenly he was not walking on the ground anymore. He walked into the clouds, amen. And he began, on his left, he saw thunder and lightning striking. And on the right, he saw the earth begin to quake. And somebody came and comforted him in the midst of his affliction. And it was Sister Priscilla. Of every 1 million Christians, maybe only one will see that kind of vision. All those who dream and saw wedding gown, it is not God, it's their imagination. Oh gosh, I wish you get what I'm saying. Oh, okay. I know where I'm going. Now, this is the point. So, most of us won't have that kind of this thing. What happens to most of us is simple. Listen to what this is what I want to say. God persuades, let me put it like this. God wants to get to a level. Let me say what I'm saying clearly. Please listen to me. God doesn't like people hiding behind. It's surprised if I say this. He doesn't really like people hiding behind the fact that it was because God told me I would not have done it. I don't know what I get what I'm saying. He doesn't like that. What he wants is that, I've said it to you before, what God wants in the lives of Christians is that even if he were to go on leave, are you getting my point? You will still do what he will love you to do. Let's assume you run an organization, all right, big organization. You're a sensible person, all right? You know the crease for head. You're a sensible person. You will not promote somebody to maybe be your immediate deputy because he's your brother or you like his face or all those things. Apart from being hardworking, you know, hard work will not make you somebody's trusted assistant. No. What will make you get there quicker is that the man knows that this man reads my mind. I don't know what I get what I'm saying. What happened when this one happened? He said, oh, we called this man, your assistant, and he said we should do this. He said, oh, that guy, you know, he reads my mind. He already knows what I will want done. No matter how hardworking he is, if he always makes decisions that are against what I would like to do, I won't promote him to that level. I can make him an assistant somewhere, but a deputy that's supposed to deputize someone I'm not around, not him. There are people who are very hardworking. They need instructions. Look, when to get up, when to sit down, when to move. They will move if you say move. But if you don't give the instructions, they will move upside down. Now, what does God really want? I taught this one before. I call it God's deputies. What God really wants is that we can think the way he will think. And when it comes to our personal lives also, do you get my point? What he also wants so that is that we'll get to a point that even if he led us in a particular dimension, all right, in a particular area, we will not only have, listen to this, God said to me, as the only reason why we are doing it, it gets to a point, either at the beginning or somewhere later on, that even if somebody was to withdraw, that God said to me, you will still say, this is what I would have loved to do. Let me just use one to illustrate. When I finished my postgraduate training, my NYSC, or my year of internship, and I was a youth corporate now, I was down thinking what I would do afterwards. Somewhere along the line, I made up my mind to become a pathologist, all right? Now, you say, why? Now, this is where I'm coming to. I have three, when people ask me, how did you decide to pursue this specialty? I have a number of answers I give. I'll give you two of them, all right? And there's a reason I want to give you two of them, because it will help you to understand one point I want to make. One, to people who are very spiritual, I can tell you that, no, oh, one day I was praying and the Lord just dropped the idea in my heart and I knew it was God and that was it. Do you understand? And that's good. That's correct. All right? And that's true. I can take you to this chair I was sitting. I came from my alumni fellowship and it was around May 1st. I was at home before I went back to my station in Taraba State. And that day I was just meditating. I'm going to get that to those things in a moment again. All right? And the thing dropped in my mind like a coin. Somebody dropped a coin into a box. Alright? And I knew that was what God wanted me to do. But that's one. Secondly, before then, I was thinking, and I will refer to it, though we've talked about it before. When Peter and Co had to replace Judas, how did they arrive at Matthias? They arrived at his replacement because they put certain criteria down, and only two people filled those criteria. Fulfill them, all right? Only two people. And one of them had to fill that post. So they didn't know what to choose. So they now cast lots. And then they now chose one of them. Now, are you getting the point? Now, the criteria were the person had to be with us from the beginning, one. He had to be with us till the end, two. He had to be a witness, an eyewitness of everything that happened and must have witnessed the resurrection and then the ascension and all of that. Because they had to be witnesses. Now, when they checked all the bodies of people there, all right? When they checked the whole body of people, the only two people that were able to fulfill those conditions were the two people they had to cast a lot of money. They were only two people. So they chose one. Now, this is what I'm coming to. What God really wants from us as believers is that we are able to draw those criteria. Listen to what I'm coming to here. Let us assume that Peter, James, John, all of them didn't have enough understanding. You know what they would have done? They would have gathered everybody. They would have been praying. Hey, Lord, you will speak. You will speak to us your will. I help now, I beg. Time is going. Now, you will assume that God will just say, hey, choose Matthias. No. You know what he will have done? First, they will meet today. Then John will probably have a word of knowledge. He may not even know it's an understanding from the Spirit. What I mean, like a direct word. He just know that something, listen. Are we looking for a replacement for Judas? Yes. What was Judas supposed to be? They will analyze the life of Judas. He was supposed to be an eyewitness of everything that occurred. He said, good. So let's pick somebody, do you understand my point, that was there. Now the first thing God will do for John, for them, is to bring that understanding through John, as an example. Then as they are going on, somebody will say, wait, we picked how many people now? 50. And they were still praying. The person must have witnessed the resurrection. Okay. Now, and he said, why do you say so? Then he begins to explain why. This understanding that God is giving him. I hope you are getting what I'm saying. Then somebody else brings another point. Along the line, one thing or the other is tying together. Finally, they will not arrive at that same point. That they will not have to cast lots. Because after all the understanding God had given them, they didn't know anything beyond that. Now, what am I saying? What God will have done over time is to educate them. I don't know what you get what I said. What we like, which is not what true Christianity is, a lot of us confuse what is sensational with that which is spiritual. Spiritual things are not necessarily sensational. You walk in the Spirit, and that's a constant thing. Yet, waking up is not sensational. Coming up here for Bible study is not sensational. It's just a normal thing, but that's walking in the Spirit, if you're a believer. Are you following what I'm saying? Now, so, most of us would rather have that which is sensational. As I was lying down, God just spoke, boom! And then, you know, we like to tell the story. Now, why I teach the way I teach, all right, is not because those things don't happen. But like I said, they are not usual, they are not common, they don't happen often, they are not the perfect will of God. So, if I was a preacher that I came with stories like that, or maybe I'm a prophet. And prophets tend to have a lot of interesting manifestations like that because their ministry really does not include reasoning things out. What I mean is that if God wants to punish a nation, it may be a nation they have never been to. And God will just wake Jonah up. Say, Jonah, go to Nineveh and go and prophesy against it. Are you getting my point? Uh-huh. So if I come and I say, look, how did I know I was supposed to go to Nineveh? I woke up in the morning and the voice of the Lord came to me. Brethren, if you want to hear the voice of the Lord, you got to stay in the Spirit. You wake up in the morning, you face the east, and then God's voice will come to you. You forget that the brother went to visit his cousin last week. God did not speak to him. He didn't tell us that one. He's only telling us the story of how he went to Nineveh. A place that he's going to for the first time since 17 years ago. That he last went there. Are you getting what I'm saying? Why did he not go there all this while? Or the other time when he went, you know, his life was going on every day for 17 years. His life is not dictated by the visit to Nineveh. Are you getting what I'm saying? And I am teaching to believers how to walk daily, even though you don't have the sun suddenly rising from the west so as to make a point to your life. So you see that rather than what most of us look out for, those things that are sensational, actually what God would rather do is to train us with those points of decision, all right, in understanding his will. That's what I'm going to explain. So, now, I said to us before, usually when you get to that kind of point, like I said, I've not forgotten Priscilla, what you're actually doing is considering many things, all right? So now, let's get back to Priscilla. So Priscilla suddenly realized that, look, this brother Aquila is really serious about this his marriage proposal. Then suddenly, now listen to this, suddenly, she starts looking at him from with a different eye now. That is, before she did not care when he's late coming. Maybe the guy is always coming late for Bible studies. You know what I'm saying? It didn't bother her a bit. But now she noticed that he comes late. Now, the issue now is that what has late coming now got to do with his life, how she will relate with him and all that stuff like that. She starts thinking about it. But that's a small thing. Let's take more serious matters. And I like to get down to things that often bother us. all my life I always wanted to have a fantastic wedding, you know, with honeymoon in Tahiti. Aquila cannot even identify an airplane. They put him in front of one like this. That is, that's how unlikely he is to take you to Tahiti. He's not taking you to Tahiti. That may sound funny. That's a prayer point. Now, listen to what I'm saying. It may take Priscilla. Now, depending on how long Priscilla has been incubating Tahiti, maybe she first saw an advert of a holiday in the Caribbean, holiday here, and the one they advertised about Tahiti was the one that really captured her. And since she was young, she's always wanted to go to Tahiti. And somebody said that it's a nice place for honeymoon, so she's been dreaming. And then she now went to fellowship. Then I said, you can call those things that be not as though they were. So she began to call Tahiti, and in the last 7 years, she's been calling Tahiti to be not as though it were. I mean, all right, to be as though it were. He's been calling Tahiti. Then you now show up with one bubble. That not only can he not afford Tahiti, he does not even know what is so called. Now, you get what I'm saying? For most of us, it's not a big deal. But for some people, it might be. And for Sister Priscilla, that's a 1 week prayer point. Listen, no matter how much God wants to say, Aquila is my will, God, you have to settle the matter of Tahiti. You have to. No, listen, I'm being honest with you. God has to settle the matter of Tahiti. You know how God is going to do it? There are different ways. Most importantly, the most likely way he will do it, in fact, I think that's the way he does it. He starts infusing the word and starts putting the holiday in Tahiti in the proper perspective. That, listen, my girl, this has nothing to do with eternity. Vanity upon vanity. Next time she'll pick a Bible, she's been reading Ecclesiastes. They are even using it for drama. She's a poet. She has read Ecclesiastes again and again and again and again and again. But this time around, suddenly it makes meaning. Alright? Vanity upon vanity. All is vanity. Then she knows that Solomon said that, I gathered vineyards and I gathered this. At the end of the day, I found out that it was what? Vanity. Next time she sees an advert of holiday in Jamaica. Holiday in whatever it is, any of those other islands. Next thing she says herself, vanity. All is what? Vanity. Brother Aquila is getting closer to the goal. He has dribbled the first defender. He's moving closer. Are you getting my point? Now, different issues are coming up. Now, most people think that God will just speak. Aquila, no. God knows the hindrances. Are you getting my point? So, as she's praying, after 1 week, she's suddenly realized that the guy is not as bad as she thought at the beginning. So she thinks. The truth is that Tahiti has been removed as an issue in her heart. Suddenly, it's looking more attractive. Are you getting what I'm saying? Before, the reason why she was not so sure about him was because of certain reasons. Now, God has solved the first one. Then he's looking more eligible. Are you getting the point I'm making? Then maybe this is Nigeria. My mother always said we couldn't marry somebody from. There's one sister who told me that her father said you can marry anybody, must not be a Yoruba man. You've heard it before. That one, she's from the east. He's like, must not marry from the west. There are people who have said they are both from the east too. See that village, if you cross that river, it's one, not just a river, stream that dries up during the dry season. Anybody on the other side of that stream is an enemy. If you bring a white man, I don't mind. But this stream, I know they cross out. If you go and wear there, you will go on your own. Because it is forbidden. Now, there are issues like that. Now, those ones are the, you are getting to the real warfare now. What do I call it? Real warfare. Then, your cousin will suddenly ask one day, this brother Aquila has been coming here. Where is he from? Okpari. He didn't want to discuss it. Now they have brought up the matter. He's from across the stream. What did you say? I hope your father has not noticed that he's from across the stream. Let me tell you. He starts telling you, do you know? 6 years ago, my sister was going to get married. They told her that people from across the strip, they are wicked souls. She did not believe. Do you know what happened? Last year, the man finally married a second wife and drove her out because the first time she had a child, it was a girl. Second time, it was a girl. And he said that he has a cheating sister too. I'm telling you. You think you're a Christian? When it comes to serious matters, Christianity is not a... Look, listen. After all, there are Christians on this side of the river, of the stream. See the issues? Now, you think it's a small thing? I have been there before when one sister was contemplating a more serious matter. I didn't even know. I just know we were discussing, I don't want to give it to you, but you know, something like this across the stream kind of thing. And she was somewhere behind and she was lying down on her bed, was in the hostel. So a number of us are sitting down on one side. We're just talking to each other, talking about some issues about life. And she said, "Amen, praise God." And she would turn. She was twisting and turning. It was later on I realized that what we're discussing were the issues in her mind. And it took her 1 year or a year and a half to finally prayerfully settle the matter. And I remember one of my friends was helping her that time. Say, "Look at you. Serious brother wants to marry you. You are still praying after all these months. You know he has traveled. You know he has traveled. One other woman will catch him there. Sit down here, they pray." And she was like, "Hey, go away. Leave me. You know, we're just gisting." After that, my friend left. I told her, I said, "Don't mind him." And I now told her that, "Don't mind my friend. That if the brother travels, and another person is like, yeah, good now. That means that he's not your own." You know, I didn't even know that I was speaking the word of God. In fact, that this Holy Spirit entered into me. You know, there was get behind me, Satan. This one's get in front of me. Holy Ghost, continue to talk. Why? Because it's not just about God said, God did not say. No. There were issues and they were being, listen, considered in the center of prayer. So that kind of sister, her cousin, not knowing that he has come as a tempter, you know what they call tempter? An adversary, an accuser of the brethren. He doesn't know. Is that not a believer, or is a believer that doesn't understand the importance of the word of God and the doctrines of God in certain areas? So he just says that and he goes away. He has worsened her plight. But God will not lead her to a prayer meeting or a Bible study the next day. And maybe somebody that speaks like Pastor Banky will show up. The Lord is good. Give us offense neither to Jews or to Gentiles or to the church of God. In Christ Jesus, there's neither Jew nor Gentile, and you keep talking. I say, listen, there are different spheres in life. If you marry according to the customs of a village, remember to pray to the gods of the village for prosperity, for marital bliss, and all of that. It keeps on talking. And you realize that this guy is locating you properly. Say, this is a matter of faith or unbelievable. So that you're on God's side or you're not on God's side. And he talks. He's strengthening your heart. And he says that, well, are we saying that natural things are not real? No, we are not saying so. We know people like that don't love their wives. We know the people from this area, people say that they are very wicked to their children. We know they disappoint, you know. He said, but those are the people of the world. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, everything is become. As you have preached, you don't know that. That's why it's good to be a preacher. You are helping people every day. You don't realize it. You just preach your own. You think you just go talk. You go home, say, "My wife, I didn't even preach much today." You don't realize that you've solved the major hurdle in the life of Priscilla. So next time, another adversary of the brethren. This time around, an uncle comes and says, "Priscilla, my daughter, my son came the last time and told me that you were considering marrying that boy Aquila from across the street. I said, let me come and give you the wisdom of the aged." You see how our people say, "Uncle, excuse me." I know our people say, but I found out what God says. There is the wisdom of the aged as well, but there is the wisdom of the ancient of days. He said, you know what Elihu said? The aged are not always wise. He said, "Uncle, let me tell you what God says." "Uncle, I hope you are not angry. I hope you are not angry. I'm just telling you what the word of God says. That if any man is in Christ, his life is different from the life of the people around him where he came from. And if indeed in Christ Jesus I marry any man wherever he is from, I will experience the blessing of God in that marriage. And in fact, I feel I have been called by God to put an end to all this nonsense that Satan sold us into more than 100 years ago. And your uncle says, okay, we shall see. He said, uncle, indeed, we shall see. We shall see. There's what is called the righteousness of God. That's what is called we shall see in common day English. Yes, that God will be proved to be right and every man will be proved to be a liar. Are you seeing the voice of God? I want us to get tired of this one of wait. It's coming. The Lord has spoken. Aside. The problem with those kind of manifestations is that they are easy to doubt. When persecution comes tomorrow, because of that word that came, many fall away. I told you, those that spring up quickly don't have depth. Those that have depth don't spring quickly. So when you harass God into finally you manage to connect and hear something, you will incur judgment for yourself if you did not sink your roots downwards before you began to make those decisions.